Blog Talk Radio.
Sexy Radio, as we bring you a tribute to Michael Jackson. This is the third anniversary of Michael's death, and I just wanted to do a little tribute to him this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me. But I just want to welcome everybody here to the show. This is We're Six Radio, where grown folks come and listen. It's an adult radio show that liberates people, and we want to be able to do that and have people to come on and talk about whatever they want, as well as talk to some of the authors that we have on the show. We do this all the time every Monday, and we enjoy doing it, so I'm glad that we were able to get you all here to listen. So, like I said, this is a tribute beginning here to Michael Jackson, and now we're going to go right into our show. So before we get into our guests, you know, give them a chance to get on, we're going to give a little bit of admin. Of course, there are some things that's coming up here in the Kansas City area all around. We know we have a new book out called, it's a new anthology called Erotic Moments. So we're definitely going to be talking about that later. And had the pleasure of doing that with a couple of authors who are very sexual and sensual people. And we'll be talking about them, and we'll have to get them definitely on the show and talk about the book's progress as we go forth. But right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to see who we have on the line. Caller, who do we have on the line?
This is T-Real.
How you doing, Mr. Real? How's it going?
What's going on? I'm all the way in Philly, 3 hours, 3 hour difference from y'all.
Okay, okay. Well, yeah, you're on the East Coast, right?
Yes, Philly.
Okay, yeah. You're an hour ahead of us, so yeah, we thank you for coming on the show, and there's two more ladies that's going to be joining us later on. But right now what we're going to do is give you an opportunity right now, Mr. Real, to let everybody know who you are and what you got going on.
All right, well, my author name is Arthur T. Real. I'm a part of the Johnson Publications family. Let's see here. Let's see where I can start. Homicide City, which is my debut. You can find that on Kindle for 99 cents, Amazon, JohnsonPublicationBooks.com, TRealsWorld.net. I'm all over the place.
Okay. So
sorry to cut you off, but I'm also part of an anthology. That was my first. That was my real debut. It was an Anna J anthology, and I was on the second book, and you can find that on Kindle as well.
Well, if you was on a book with her, then you must have been really getting freaky, because some of her stuff is really freaky. So I need to go and check that out.
Yeah, it was called Erotic Snapshots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had her on the show last year. And she is a phenomenal woman as well. So for you to write an anthology with her was very something that don't happen to everyone. So I think that's good. That shows that your talent is definitely strong. So how did you get into writing? What started you writing and writing the genre that you're in now? Because I know that you probably writing more than erotica, but what got you started?
I mean, just everyday life. Like, I like, you know, just waking up and just being creative with my mind. And I'm in all kinds of writing. So I was like, one day, you know, I'll write a urban fiction. But I was always into reading it, because I read Donald Goins' whole series, like all his books. So I was always into it. And then when it got really popular, like in the 99,000s, well, actually, before that, because I read Sister Soldier, Coldest One Ever, and then, you know, the Terry Woods and everybody else, like, I gradually got into all that. So, you know, I got inspired to actually want to write my own, but I didn't know when I was going to do it. So, you know, fast forward up to, like, 2009, that's when I started.
Okay. And that's when you came out with on the anthology? You started out with our lady that we were talking about, and you got that going there. That's what kind of did it for you, Anna J.
Yeah, actually, I was actually published off of this. My story is funny, because the book that's out now is not the first book I wrote. I actually got published off of a book I wrote called The Pen Pal, which should be coming out, like, you know, soon. I mean, I'll just say it'll be coming out, but. My publisher.
Usually that's how it goes. You know, we usually don't come out with our first stuff. You usually do something else that gets it, and then we come back with something. So
exactly.
I understand that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So the company, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I told her, like, if you like Pen Pal, I was like, she's like, well, you know, she wanted to know how deep into writing I was. Like, do I have another one? And I guess I mean, her accent, I can understand, you know, the business side of anything. You don't want to sign a writer and then they just only got one book. So she asked, when she asked me, I followed by answering. You just don't know. Like, I mean, I wrote another book. And I was like, you might like that even more. I don't know. I just pitched the idea to her, and she's like, well, send that to me, too. She read that and was like, you're going to put this out first. And that's how I got up to Homicide City. So I got published in 2010. And then, I don't know if you know, but another author that's signed to Johnson Publications, her name is Jules.
Yeah, I've had Jules on the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's my partner, Kyle. We had our blog talk show. So we had Anna Jay on our show, and she liked it so much. That's when she, you know, reached out to us and was like, I would like for y'all to be a part of my anthology that I'm doing. So that's, I mean, she loved our story so much. She was like, that is going in. Jules is in part one, and I'm in part two.
Okay. So what's Jules doing these days? I haven't spoken with her in quite some time.
Book signings.
Okay.
Exactly. We're very busy doing book signings, and we can't wait for the Harlem Book Fair. I know I can't wait. That'll be my first one, so I definitely can't wait for that.
So you guys published under the NJ, or you have your own company?
No, we actually published under another author. Her name is Latoya Johnson.
Okay.
And the company is Johnson Publications.
Okay, so you got this other book coming out, and you said you've been kind of touring the country and everything, and kind of getting it out there, and everybody's getting to know who you are. I know most of the questions that you get is people want to know who are you in your book, because that's the question we always get.
You said who are I in the book?
Created. Who are you in the book?
Well, it's funny that you asked that. I'm not really a character in my book, but mm-hmm. I put my characteristics in certain characters. So I'm like, I'm all over the place.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't
put
myself in the book. I just, you know, I mean, I think that naturally, like, writers put a piece of their lives in a character and bring it out more, because you can only write from what you actually seen. Like, that's how you write better. Like, that's how you know it's pure and it's like coming from you, not just something
right,
that
right.
you made up and you saying, "Well, I make this up." I think all characters come from what you've seen and everything like that, who you came across.
Right, right. So I take it that you like writing and you've been doing it for a while. When did you actually get started? Did you start in high school, junior high, college, or?
Yeah, a long time ago, like, I was, like, very well. My English teacher told me I was good at, like, coming up with short stories. And it's funny because I was never in an English class like that, like all the plays and all that stuff. And now that's what I'm into. I'm into writing and on like that. So it's kind of interesting that I wasn't always interested in English class, but now, you know, writing became
the now there it is. Right.
Yeah, it's just funny how that happens.
Right. So you and Jules, y'all been kind of going out on your own or touring together, or how is that working out?
Yeah, we started out together, and then, you know, like as we went along and got comfortable going out on ourselves, then that's how we are right now. But we'll get back to touring because me and her have a joint venture going. We have a joint venture coming out soon.
Okay.
I can't really speak about it because I can't really speak about that because we know we have stories, but we don't really have a title set. So I'm just throwing it out there. Me and her have a joint venture, though.
Not a problem. That's not a problem. And for those out there listening, if you want to call in to talk to Mr. T. Real, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, where we talk grown folks radio, the adult show where everybody gets liberated and become liberated through sexual empowerment information that we bring on the show with our authors and poets and spoken word artists that we have on the show. So we have Mr. T. Real right now, and he's doing his thing, telling us about him, what he's going to be doing here. We're going to be talking to him in the future. Hopefully we can keep him the whole time. This is a two-hour segment. And we got two more authors that's supposed to be coming on. We got Winner Giovanni. She's supposed to be coming on, as well as Darka Armstrong. So we're going to see if they're going to be coming on and see what they're talking about as well. So now that you got a project with her, and do you have any more other projects that you're doing on your own that you just have coming out?
I have a lot of. I'm working on part two to Homicide City, of course, because everybody. I mean, if you're an author coming out now, and you actually write one book, and I don't know if it's the title or what happens in the book, people are always like, "When is part two coming out?"
Right.
So,
now, was it originally designed to be a series, or are you just going by what the fans are asking for, or what?
Yes, it's more. It's like 90% yes and 10% no.
Uh huh. Okay, so you did they kind of give you a steer you into doing a second part, or you just wanted to do something
yeah.
else, or?
I mean, how I ended it, I wanted to leave it in their hands. And
okay.
how I ended it, I did that on purpose. I actually wrote,
okay.
I wrote that on, like, the ending on purpose and see, like, you know, how everything, you know, planned out to be. And I got a lot of people saying, like, I can't wait for part two. Like, that was my, you know, people on Facebook, like, email me, inboxing me. I can't wait for part two. I want this, that, and I can't wait to see who this, that. And that's what, you know, I was like, well, there it is. I have to pay attention
okay.
to. Now, as an author, I mean, That's what you give them if you want to keep your fans.
Absolutely. So my thing is I understand that you do this because you love it, and so it's not all about money and all that, because a lot of people think that, you know, and it's money to be made in the literary game, but a lot of people think that they get one book out, they publish it,
and
they think they're rich just like that, you know. I mean, can you kind of elaborate on that so some of the people that listen that may have that pipe dream in their mind that's not necessarily true? Can you go ahead and explain that to them?
Well, for one, it takes a lot to actually, I mean, because the game is so saturated. So me coming in, I wasn't paying attention to the saturation until I got on Facebook, actually put author in front of my name and start connecting with millions of authors. Once
mm-hmm.
I seen that, I said, well, I just have to just keep writing, because I noticed that in the beginning, like once I got signed, I signed and, you know, put all effort into editing and, you know, just making a name for myself before my book came out. It's not, I knew from the beginning, I was like, well, I know it's going to take a while to actually start seeing, you know, the benefits and, you know, the reaping all the rewards from writing. Because there's so many
You got to pay your dues. Yeah, it's like the music business. I mean, everybody that comes in this, you don't just come in and fall in and there it is. You know, some people get that. Now, I'm not saying it's not impossible. But
oh,
what
yeah,
I'm saying is
not.
You just have to be focused. First of all, I think that if you're going to be an author, you have to be someone who really loves writing, first of all. If you don't love writing, then you don't need to be in the game, because my thing is, you know, it's all about you writing and getting your creating the characters and putting it out there. If it's about money, and I told an author that today, an up-and-coming author today that asked me for my opinion, and I was able to give, and I was glad that they felt enough to even ask me. But my thing was, you know, if you don't love writing, then, and you're in it for the money, then you're in it for the wrong reason, because it's not going to happen like that. And if it does, that's great, but then you got to be able to stay at a certain level.
Yeah,
you know, like
definitely.
You said, it's very saturated. There's a lot of authors out there. There's a lot of people on Facebook that says author on their name. Anybody can put that in front of their name, but are they really an author? That's the thing that you
exactly.
have to look at. And I'm not downing those people. I'm just saying, you know, you put a story out. A lot of people come to me and they say, I want to write a book. And then I ask them, well, what do you want to write about? And the first thing they want to write about, they'll tell you, is their life. So the question I ask them is, what is so good about your life that it has to be written in a book and that somebody would want to read it?
Exactly.
So, you know,
because, I mean,
then they sit there and they think, oh, well, you know, I went through a lot of stuff. Well, that's great, but still, is it interesting? Is people interested in what it is that you have, and how are you going to tell that story? You know, and then, of course, if you're doing it at nonfiction, then you're going to have to look at the fact of if you put names and places in there that people can get you for slander and all those things. So, you know, it takes a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
So a lot of people will rewrite the story in a fiction realm and change the characters' names and protect the innocent and all this. But still, you have to be careful how you do it, because if you tell it exactly the way it is, you still can be looked upon as someone who's putting something out that they didn't want out. So,
yeah, then you know, I base I say urban fiction because that's the genre that I don't put myself in a box. That's why I try to take it to erotica and just try to be different instead of just put myself in a box.
Yeah.
And
well, honestly, right now, even with the 50 Shades of Grey and a lot of these books that's coming out now, erotica is now really in a position where it can really, really, if you do it well, you can really do well in that genre right now, because a lot of housewives are sitting back reading these books. And I mean, it was a housewife that wrote that book. I don't know if you know anything about 50 Shades of Grey.
Book is like through the roof right now.
Right. Everybody's reading it, and it's just a regular old housewife that was at home one day that was horny, and she wrote a book about sex, and there you have it. So
I'm competing with, when I go to book signings, the book, it was a TLJ, I don't know if you're familiar with that bookstore, because you're in Kansas City, but it's a bookstore in Baltimore, TLJ. They just received that book. Like when I arrived there, I did a book signing there in May 31st. When I arrived there, I had to compete. Like, I had to actually, this is what authors need to, when you do book signings, and you just don't stand there and people come up to you and say, hey, what you're doing here? You have to actually, be on your feet and pass out flyers, have your shirt or your poster, whatever you bring, to have people come over to you and say, oh, is this your book, or I'm selling a book. That's what a book sign is. You actually have to sell yourself at a book signer. So,
well, I'm glad you said that, because the segue. Okay.
I say authors. There was a lot of people coming, but they wasn't coming to see what I had. They was coming to buy that book. But that's how I said, well, if you can read that book, you can read mine. I had to compete with that book. Sometimes that book sign, like, you're not in competition with another author, but that's how you can get people, to be interested in what you have. Like, I learned that because a lot of readers, they might not know about you, but they're coming to that bookstore to get somebody else. So that's gift of gab.
Right.
To sell a book.
Well, my thing is you're the brand, not the book, so you have to be able to sell yourself, is what you're saying. And if anybody understands what he just said, basically what you're doing is everybody was coming in to buy one thing, and then they would look at you. You got to be able to tell them, well, what is so good about your book that they should buy and read?
Exactly.
Because they already got their mind set to go get something else. You just happen to be there. If they didn't know you were there and didn't know your name, then your name is not a household. I mean, even though I think her name is E.L. James, or I forget what her name is, but she's 50 Shades of Grey, and it's three books.
Yeah,
so people are reading that.
And
they're reading
one of the biggest co-signs that she could ever got was from Oprah. And I think this lady about to be a millionaire now.
Well, of course. Well, whenever Oprah puts her name on something, of course it's going to get out there. And all she got to do is say, read the book, and that's it. So, her books are sold everywhere. You can go to places that sell erotic toys and all that, and you'll see that book. You can go in and be all in. I was, traveling this week, and all in the library, all up in the airports and everywhere, that book is there. So people are buying that book and they're reading it. And it's not just white people. It's everyone that's reading the book. And that's what we need to do. We need to stop focusing on just doing urban fiction and doing those type of things and just focusing on ourselves, putting us on the covers all the time. I'm not saying acknowledge us as a race, but what I'm saying is when you write, like I do, I don't write to African Americans. I write to people who like to read, and that's what we need to do. Everybody's picking up that book and reading it. There's a lot of folks who want to stay within the urban fiction realm and all that, but my thing is I think if you write and you love writing and you're doing it because you want to get your work out there so people can read it, then you don't want to just focus on one type of people. 50 Shades of Grey is doing well because the woman is writing to whoever wants to read about somebody in S&M and getting tied up and doing all this shit and having fun, getting fucked and whatever. And that's exactly what they're reading. And it's coming from the perspective of a housewife. So that's it. That's what I'm saying. So DV, what's going on, brother?
What's up with you, man?
How you doing, right?
About my tardiness, but, you know, glad to be here.
Okay, well, this is my co-host, DV Hint. He is an erotic fiction author as well, and we have Mr. T. Real on right now. And
what's going on, sir?
What's good with you, man?
You know,
we're
going to
check
Brian
and see who this other person is right now. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Red. This is Toy Honey from Michigan.
What's going on, Miss Toy Honey? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm blessed, too. And now that you're on the show, we're going to talk some shit for real. Say hello to our guest, Mr. T. Real. And DV Hint, they're both here.
Say your name again, man.
Toy Honey.
All right, and you're from Michigan.
Uh huh. How you doing, DV and T. Real?
I'm good. I'm on here, you know, promote my book, promote my name, and doing big things.
Man, when T said that, I'm at the bus end. I'm sorry, Toy Honey. You got this dude getting his dick hard or something? Because seemed like when he heard you was he was on, all of a sudden he came, his dick got hard. He got some testosterone going. Now he's talking shit. Okay, that's what Toy Honey does. Okay, all right. Yeah, but we was talking a little bit about Mr. Real's book and the books that he's got coming out eventually here pretty soon. And there's two more authors that's scheduled to be here as well. Winter Giovanni's supposed to be here tonight, and we're also supposed to have Darka Armstrong. I hope I'm saying her name right. I'm probably saying it wrong. But anyway, they're going to be coming on pretty soon. And we got Toy Honey now, so she's extra. We'll be fucking with her. And I had a good time. I'm going to tell you, last week we were supposed to have a special show, a best of show, but I had to end up canceling at the last minute. I'm sorry about that for those that are listening. But we'll definitely get that back. It was T.L. James, and she was talking shit. So if you heard that show already, you already know what's up. But anyway, we had a tribute a few minutes ago for Michael Jackson because, you know, this is his third anniversary of his death, so we did that. But I was out there traveling, and I was telling you, I was all up in D.C. and everything, got to see the monument and all that. And, you know, I was telling Mr. Real that, you know, everybody's reading the fuck out of that damn 50 Shades of Grey. So, you know, that's our competition right now. You know, especially those that are erotic writers. You know, this woman has this F&M shit down. So what are we gonna do about that, DV?
Look, man, the way I see it, not necessarily the competition. It draws more attention toward
right. You
know, our craft. You know, and
right.
And in all honesty, the only thing we can really do is jump on that ship and kind of let it sail.
Right.
Yeah, you know me. I don't see it. It's only competition if it's denouncing something that we're doing, you know. So I see it as a positive movement towards more people getting their hands on erotica because, look, if 50 Shades of Grey arouses them, then chances are they're looking for other things out there that might do the same thing.
And I agree with you because there was an article that was put out the other day that I read. I can't even remember exactly where it was, but they're saying that very thing they're saying is 50 Shades of Grey is putting erotica on the map right now. That's making people look for more erotica that they normally wouldn't be looking for. And it's also opening the doors to make them admit that they like reading shit like that. So let's just go ahead on and write the shit. Let them read. Let them get their ass hard, jack off, fuck, whatever they're going to do, and go from there.
But the thing is,
okay.
now is the perfect opportunity to perfect your craft. Because now
right.
that everybody's looking at you, you're going to have to put up a more polished product instead of just, you know,
absolutely.
Putting out stuff extraordinarily doing and half-editing and half-assing and half-telling the story and, you know, and making it unbelievable. It is the perfect time to hone in on your craft, attract an audience that ordinarily wouldn't even look in your direction, and show them that, look, you know, we can write stories just as well, if not better.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I agree with you on that one. And we definitely got to make sure we put something out there that's worthy because, and like I was saying, telling Mr. Real, we don't want to just put stuff out there with just our face on it all the time either. Cause, you know,
right.
they will put you on a label. First time they see your book and they see the black person on there or whatever, of course they don't think it's urban fiction when it even isn't, when it's not. It's not even that. It could be whatever. It could be anything. But because they see those attributes or they see the city
the background
title.
And the title
right.
and all this shit, you know, I mean, they're going to put you in that category and won't give you
yeah.
a chance.
And I feel you on that, Red. It comes down to relatability. You know, every minority feels like they can't understand any other minority. And since white people are the majority, they certainly feel like they can't understand our story. You know, we're kind of obligated to read the majority story, but they're under no obligation to reciprocate. So in actuality, that's why a lot of people don't put their pictures in the back of the book, because they don't want to be thought of as black writers or telling the African-American story. Because you know what? The human condition is universal. And that's why you catch so many people. That's why Oprah always promotes these books where these people are down on their luck and they overcome, you know, some superior obstacle. Because her book groups don't care whether you're white, black, yellow, or green. If you have overcome some obstacle in some way, shape, or form, they're willing to read your book. So
absolutely.
Ultimately, you know, we have to, you know, like I said, you know, it goes back to what I said in the beginning. You put out a polished product, and people ultimately don't care what you look like. Now, you know, they may not understand the story, but there's certainly sections of every story that everybody on earth can relate to.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, and I'm going to let y'all talk. But the bitch who wrote that goddamn book, man, I ain't dogging her. I'm just saying it like she has a motherfucker. But, you know, on the front of her books, what does she have? She has a gray book, first of all, and she has
yeah.
objects that's in the book, things that's possible. Like on one of the book covers, it's a face, a mask. One of the covers, it's handcuffs. And then one of the
yeah.
covers, it's a tie, something simple.
There's
and
no
that's plain. All you need.
Right.
Plain and simple. It's out there. You don't know who the color of the person is. You can probably, if you read it, you probably can imagine. Or maybe not. But that's part of your imagination going through this, because the characters don't necessarily have to be somebody that is a color. I mean, it's good to have multiple colors or whatever, but, you know, when you can write like that and you get somebody's interest and they're not worried about what the person's color is or whatever, or if they read the name of the person and that person's name happens to be Shaniqua or something, then, I mean, you know, of course they're going to start picking that. But, I mean, you know, you just want to make it where you write to readers, like we were talking earlier. And I want Corey Honey and T. Real to respond as well. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Everybody
I'm
on
listening.
The
one now. I'm listening. I'm like, host the show.
Okay, well, I mean, we want to get some comments from you because you're the guest. So we want to actually get you, and since Toy is here, she's a guest as well. Today, after this show, she ain't going to be a guest no more. When she come on, she's just on it. But we just want to get your opinion on that. I mean, I don't want just me and DV to talk. We want you guys to get involved
as
well.
As
me and DV can do this
like,
shit, but...
Come on, as far as, like, the book covers and everything like that?
Yeah, I mean, just how you market your book. Like I said, the book is not the brand. You are. So... if you want your books to continue to go forward, people can want to know him, just like Zane, for instance. Zane can put out a book, and it's not even her writing it, but because it says Zane Presents, people know to pick up her book. They're going to read the shit, whether it's good or not, because her name is on it, because her brand is her name. It's not the book. So
I think you have I feel like you have to make yourself a brand. I mean, I pass out flyers, I interact with people on Facebook, and I constantly tell people I have a book out. Like, anybody I come across, I say hello to. And I ride the bus, still, and I'm not afraid to, you know, say that. I don't have, you know, that. So if I'm on the bus and I see somebody with a Kindle, I give them a flyer and say, this is me, and there you have it. So I don't stop promoting. Like, wherever I'm at, like, I hope as much fire as possible, and you know, pass out flyers and constantly tell people to buy my book.
Like,
okay.
I feel you on that. Whenever I see somebody with a Kindle, I try to stop
them. Miss Honey, are you there?
Ask them what they read.
Is she there? I hear something.
I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
Well. Just want to get your opinion, because you're being awfully quiet back there. I don't see you breathing hard enough, so we ain't getting it that way. So what do you think about that? I mean, when you are, because you got a book that's out or coming out real soon, right? So what
yeah.
do you think about what you've heard? What do you think, what sells, I guess? I mean, you know, not downing anyone, because, you know, my thing is if you got a good marketing programmed, and yeah, it'll get you out there. Of course, Oprah is over the top. If you get Oprah to say fuck about your book or just whatever, I mean, your shit's gonna sell. I mean, but I'm just saying. I mean, you know, what do you think?
I mean, real talk. If Oprah said I want to have this book, people would still buy it.
I think.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree with you. You have to have a good marketing plan when you have your books out. And it's funny that you touched on the topic of Zane and, you know, writing books where you don't know the nationality or the race of the character. Zane actually wrote a book, it's one of my favorite books by her, called Total Eclipse of the Heart.
I have read that
book twice. I still don't know if Brooke is white or black or if Damon is white or black. All I know is they are two different people, two different genders that have went through this and they went through that and have somehow connected and made something beautiful.
Because see, and that's great, and that's a good book. You're right. You're absolutely correct. That book is good. That's one of the books that I actually have read that she put out. But you know, she already went through that thing over the years at her coming out with writing the different books with chocolate flavor or, you know, yellow flavor. I'm just using different my own names for them. But all the different books had the different genres of race, because we're all in the same race, but it had the different pieces of the race. There's a yellow version, there's a black version, there's a white version. I mean, you know, I know there's vanilla flavor. I don't know. It's just different names of the books that she did that, and all the anthologies in those books were about relationships where dealing with that race, or not that race, but you know, that type of person in that race, you know. So, and that's good. And I think that's really good when we can write a book. And that book had an eclipse, and it was about the eclipse and how all things came about using that, you know, base. I think she kind of started with a baseball thing in that one. Is that the one that started out with kind of like, in the beginning, was like a baseball kind of, I might be getting two books mixed up. But anyway, with Total Eclipse of the Heart, I know she used the metaphor with the eclipse and all that, how it came about and coming across and all that. And you're right. You know, the characters, you don't know what their race is. And I think that's that's brilliant, because you want people to read your books, and you should be writing to people who read. Like I was talking to you real earlier, you know, you want people to read your books. If you put yourself in a genre like urban fiction, which is nothing wrong with it, but that's what you want, and you want to stay there, and you got a great audience, and you are happy with that, then fine. But I think it's more to your craft. You can add more to your experience and everything if you branch out from one normal thing. Now, there are some that they love doing that, and that's their thing. If they like writing their stories, maybe that's all they know. You know, they've been to jail or whatever, they want to write about jail and prison and all that, that's fine. But do the people have to be black? I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know.
Obviously
they don't have to be.
You know, we are all good at something, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're bad at everything else. You know, when back in the 90s, you know, I was all, you know, Biggie. And the one thing that he said that stuck with me to this very day, and he was like, you know, I rap, you know, he's like, when I wrote my first album, I was broke. You know, he was like, that's all I knew how to rap about, was being broke and being hungry and being desperate. He was like, I ain't broke no more. So there's no point in rapping about being broke. You know, and he was like, when your circumstances change, the things that you talk about should change. So I think there should be a growth. I don't care what genre that you write in, you should always try to branch out and do something else, because it's a growing process. If you stick yourself in the same predicament time and time again, you're going to only gonna have the same audience time and time again. You know,
well,
you
I agree with you. Okay.
You know,
I agree with you on the growth.
You grow your brand and you grow your audience.
I agree with you on that, but the only problem is that I see that sometimes you could tell when it was broken, how much they put more into the story or more into the music or whatever, if we're talking any genre. And then when they get some money, they start putting half-ass shit out because they got money now. They ain't starving no more and all that. So you got to make sure that you don't do that. Once you get there, you want to make the transition, but you want to make it in such a manner that you still keep the substance of what you were doing in it. The love that you had in it before.
You know, like I grew up, you know, like the very first tape that I ever bought was Ice Cube. And I was like, man, this dude's so hard, I think he might kill me in my sleep. You know, and he was just like, you know, so raw that I was just like, man. And even
what's the guy's name again? I'm sorry.
Ice Cube.
Oh, Ice Cube. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. you know, like, I was just like, you know, everything that he said was conscious, you know, even though, you know, he was basically tearing apart, you know, his former members of NWA, he was very conscious of the things that he did. And even when he was in Boys in the Hood, you know, he stayed true to his character and didn't try to be somebody he was not. But, like,
he started doing family movies, he was like, look,
I'm not always going to be the hard-headed, knucklehead, you know, person. I got a family now, and I want my kids to be able to see some of the movies that I do. You know, so
right.
you're not doing what the money tells you to do. You're still being true to your honest self, but you expand yourself so that you don't always get typecast as that person. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Ice Cube. I mean, like Ice T did.
You know, he wrote that, that book, Cop Killer, and got so much controversy behind it. Now that's all he plays is cops. You know, he just don't do nothing else. He's a cop on Law and Order. Even when he was in New Jack City, he was a cop in that.
Yeah,
and, you
yeah.
know, he just
that was,
cop
that
killer,
was
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and I agree. You know, you want to keep your, you know, whatever you write. You know, I try to write in different things. I don't like to stay in one area.
But my thing is, whatever you do, you have to try to bring yourself first. If you like this, you know what I'm saying, and it's not to please everybody else, then you do it. You
right.
know, and that's all it is.
Yeah. Say for example, me. I love erotica. I love romance. And I love life. That's what I write.
Okay. Now you got it sucked up. But anyway, all right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You got it sucked up now. Okay.
All right. So you like, okay, elaborate a little more on that. Tell us, you like erotica, you like romance, and you like life. Okay,
not necessarily life, but conscious pieces. And lately, I've been writing a lot of them. Like, I just did a collab with a fellow poet today, you know, about how some of these women in these reality shows, like these dating reality shows, are making themselves feel like a fool, especially if they own a show like Basketball Wives or something like that.
They have
a husband or they have a boyfriend. Okay, you're supposed to be making your mate or your husband look good. You on here calling this woman out of her name, fighting with her. You're making you and your man look silly. What's the use of that? So that's what our piece was all. The name of the piece, I don't know, Red Snapper, if you still on my friend list, the name of the piece is called The Ugly Reality of Reality TV. That's the name of the collabo I did.
Okay. Why would I not be a friend of yours?
Yeah,
you get rid of me or something. No, but I get what you're saying, and these women do, and they be beautiful, and they be on there talking all kinds of shit and fucking up, and half these women ain't even married to the people no more that they supposedly the wife to or whatever. You know, they just on there and they talking shit. Like there's one on Basketball Wives, all she do is, and she admits that she gets money from dudes and they buy her. That's all she do. That's her job is to get sugar, a professional sugar baby, I guess you want to call it. She get these sugar daddies to buy her everything she needs, and that's what she does.
But see, Spike,
you know, and they letting all these young girls that are coming out thinking that that's the way to do it.
Spike Lee said it best. They put you on TV in the hopes that this is how you want the world to see you. You know, it's the absolute best of coonery and buffoonery. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, if people like those shows, so be it. But what amazes me is how they won't put anything positive on TV, but they showing up how you looking at black women like they overbearing, overpowering, you know, egomaniacs with attitude problems.
Going back and forth, yep.
Right, and who love to fight and bicker and grab a man's balls and claim them for themselves. Like, these are my balls, you know.
Right.
I run this shit, you know, and it's buffoonery at its best. And you ask somebody about these shows, and they're like, oh, isn't that how black women usually act? Like, for real?
Yeah, you're right. That's what they think. A lot of white people will tell you they think that that's what a black woman's about or whatever. And, you know, even with Madea, I mean, you know, which I think is the biggest opportunity. But anyway, you know, all of that damn slapstick shit, you know, that they want to keep going with and all of that, you know, it's just... And I'm not dogging Tyler Perry. He's making his money and stuff. Okay, that's fine. You know, I mean, you know, I try to support us. But a lot of times the shit is just over the damn top.
It makes it real hard. You know, it's just over the top. You know, I mean, some of that stuff just not needed. I think every comedian thinks if they don't put on drags, they ain't going to make it. You know, ever since Flip Wilson, you know, everybody thinks that they got to put a dress on, and that's the only way they're going to become a great comedian. All of them have done it. I think, I don't even know, did Steve Harvey ever do it? I don't know if he ever put a dress on. I know the rest of them did.
I've never seen them. But Ricky Smiley did it.
Ricky Smiley, they all done it.
I never seen
Neil Healy do it. Neil Healy has never put on a dress. He's more into politics. I see that he gets more into political. He had a political show there at one point. So, you know, it's not everyone does it, but most, the majority think that if they put a dress on, that they're gonna make it. And that's what society is making them think, you know, especially now with, you know, and you know, I mean, I don't know. We just got to take a look at, and maybe that's another show one day. We need to sit back and take a look at our media and what we put out there. Is it really what we want to be portrayed as? That's a great show I think we should come up with or something in the future. But, you know, my thing is and it goes with our writing. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Did Bernie Mac ever do it?
You know, I don't know if he ever put a dress on or not. I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Because I know in life he played a gay prisoner, but I've never seen him put on a dress.
I've seen Ben Reigns play gay, but never Bernie Mac.
Oh, yeah. Ben Reigns played a whole movie about him being a drag queen.
He played a couple.
Yeah. I forget the name of the movie, but it was... Yeah, Alfie Woody was in the movie with him, I believe, and he was just, sweet or whatever. Yeah, whatever it was.
I was like, Claire's Heart? What was it called? Like, Holiday Heart. That was the one. It was like,
Holiday Heart.
But, you know, my thing is, like you said, is how do we want to be portrayed? And it goes along with our medium, that we do in writing, because, like you said, you know, everybody who reads urban fiction or whatever, there's nothing wrong with it. That's what they want to do. It's a great genre. It's got some great stories. But a lot of the other authors, when it first came out, a lot of the mainstream authors were saying, oh, how can you edit something like that? It's talking that way. And people were saying shit. And you're talking slang. You know, some of that is just a little over the top sometimes. So, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm not against it. I'm with it. People are doing it. That's fine. You know, but, you know, we just got to really realize what it is that we're doing. Okay, I just got a message from Darka. She's not going to be able to get on because something has happened at home. Okay, all right. So, we know she's not coming. I don't know what happened to Winter, but that's okay. We're good. We got a good amount of folks that's on right now that we're talking with, so... If anybody wants to talk to Mr. T-Real and everybody, just call in. The number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sex Radio, and it's Grown Folks Radio, and we usually talk a lot of shit on here, and we do talk about good points as well. So it's not just shit talking, but we do have some positive influences on the show, and I think a lot of people like listening because we do. But we do get into relationships and all that, and we talk about these things. But since we're talking to authors that are, I ain't gonna say you guys are new in the game, but you're coming into the season, I'll say that. And, you know, we all learning. Not just me, not just DV, or none of us are better than nobody else. But the thing is we need to help each other so that we can make our craft look better than what it is and stop making people think that all we do is write about drugs and guns and all this shit. You know, it's more out there than that. And it's not just all sexual either. They figure if we're not writing about guns or something, we got to be writing about screwing or something like that. And then if it is some sex, that is nothing but sex, there's nothing else to it. And that's not true. I feel that if you write erotica, you're an erotic writer, and if your story, if you can't take all the sex out of the story and still have a story, then, you know, it's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? And that's just me. That's my opinion. And I try to write my books like that because I feel like if I'm going to write erotica, I want to have it where if I take the sex out, and I still have a story?
or is that the only thing I got? Woody, what's your thoughts? Anybody, whatever you want to say.
Wow.
I would say
based off myself, I'm thinking of a short story that I had there that was like sensual erotica, and the whole idea of that story was a woman losing her mate and she missing him, and you know, just going through it, a year of going through it. I put a little bit of sense in it, but then I was thinking to myself, like, okay, if I take this out, what do I have? I have this woman suffering from the loss of losing her love. So.
Right. Well, you know, and I'm not saying this, just take it to what I'm saying, okay? That is one poem. Okay, now, if all your poems are just about something like that, then I would probably say something to that nature. But even, you know, poetry's a little different. So you can just be an erotic poet, just like the Poonanny poets and all that, and just write about my pussy is so glorious or whatever, and, you know, part of the story about walking around with stilettos on and nothing else, you know, for my husband. I mean, those kind of things are meant for that. But if you got a whole story and all you got in there is one sex scene and the next chapter is another sex scene, that's all it's there, and there's no substance to anything else but just fucking, which I love to do, by the way. I still want to have a story that's going on and shit, you know, that something's happened that motherfucker's dick is in his pants for a little while. It ain't always hanging out and shit, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know.
Yeah, but these are things that you can apply to anything. Like, you know, take Street Lit. If you take out the drug use and violence, is it still a good story? If you have Christian fiction, if you take out all the drama with the preachers, is it still a good story? You know, it doesn't matter what you write. The core of the story is more important than the drama that you bring to it, you know, or the sex that you bring to it. Is it still a cohesive story without the preacher's drama? Is it still a cohesive story without this drug dealer's, you know, violent tendencies? Is it a still great story without this person having sex every chapter? If you can say, yes, I love the story without all that, then you have crafted a good story. If you need those things to actually enjoy the story, then maybe perhaps. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's why when I write erotica, I love to put a lot of sex scenes in my books, but I use the sex scenes as a carryover. It's not supposed to be the main part of it. You know, but then it's because if it's the main part of your book, then it's porn.
Yeah, then
and if that's your objective, then do so. But my thing is there should be some things going on in there, and I mean this seriously when I write. And if somebody come to me and ask me about that, if they want to publish through Midwest Publishing Group, I look to see if it's nothing but just sex. And if it is, I'm not going to publish it because I want a story. I want you to be able to take something out. You know, if you take all the sex out, what do you got? Is it still a readable story? If all you got is Joe sticking his dick in Susie's ass, then that ain't going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So you know, I'm just being honest. It's got to be more to it than just that. The sex is supposed to be hot and carry you over to the next scene, but the next scene should be about something that's going on, that there are some kind of connection or something that's going on, not just people getting together and fucking. Even if it's about a prostitute. You don't want it to be with the bitch is always laying on her back, and I hate to say bitch, but anyway, the woman's laying on her back, and that's all she doing is got her legs up in the air and shit, you know what I mean? Does she eat? You know, I mean, I got dogged before, and I say this all the time, I'm still tripping on this, about not having a motherfucker put a rubber on it. Shit. That shit fucks me up every time I mean, I got a one. I got an actual one rating from someone because they said I didn't take time out to put damn rubber on her dick before it went in the pussy. So, I mean, you know, it just depends. I mean, it was a self-help book. First of all, it's fantasy, and it wasn't a self-help book, so what was you looking for? Safe sex and some fantasy shit. You know, I mean, when I'm laying down and I'm dreaming about fucking somebody or whatever, do I think about putting the damn rubber on? Hell no.
Oh, Lord.
But it's my fantasy. It's a fantasy. But does that make sense? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just,
but, I mean, the thing, we will have, yeah, like I say this every time,
We're always going to have people that not like what we do or what we write. I'm not going to judge my writing by the. There are two people I'm not going to judge myself by the people who's like, oh, I love this novel. It was the best thing I ever wrote, that I've ever read. You know, I love hearing that, but I'm not going to judge my writing based on that. And I'm not going to judge my writing on the person that says, hey, you know, there's too much sex in this book. I give them a one. I judge my people by the people who give honest, detailed opinions on the quality of my writing. Like, look, you know, he may have made this mistake, but, you know, this part was great, and I absolutely love this part. You know, those are the people I can trust because those are the people who want to see me do better. You know,
and I'm glad you said that, dude. I ain't trying to cut you off, but I'm glad you said that because I think that, yes, we should put out the best quality of work that we possibly can by editing. Okay, but even with mainstream companies, okay, there are mistakes in a lot of these mainstream books as well. I've seen mistakes in Eric Jerome Dickey's books and a lot of other people's books. But I am so tired of these people that don't go to school for anything, and they do these reviews on your books, and they dog you because of mistakes. Now, some of them are fucked up. Some of them are really fucked up. I mean, deserve some of that. I mean, some of my books are jacked, but, you know, I'm redoing them. But the thing is, you know, my thing is you, I don't think you should judge. If the story is great and it's a great story, I don't think that you should make the whole everything about somebody putting a comma in the right place or the period is should have been here, but it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? And then you don't have anything to back you on it. You're just the person that reads. And now all of a sudden, you know, you just PhD or whatever, you know, you know, in writing. So it's a catch 22 really with it, because you want to put your best craft out as you can, your best thing in your craft. If you care about your craft, and DD says this all the time, and I agree with him, you know, you want to put out the best product and have more than one person look at it, more than one editor. But the thing is you still may miss it. And if it gets out there and you've done it, all you can do and you know you did, that's fine. You know, I'm not saying just throw something out, you write it today and you don't edit it and you throw it out there, and then of course you're supposed to get dogged. But
I think that people put
so much into that, it's just fucked up. And they ain't published shit. They ain't got one book out there. You know, and they do this. So I'm sorry, I'm on the soapbox.
I can't. I can talk about that. I had a person like inbox me and told me my book was good, but it was typical.
What?
So in other words, they're saying when they said it was typical, they're saying that there's another story already out there, so they knew it was going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't really comply to that, because it would have just, we'd have been like going back and forth for a while.
It's typical, it's predictable, it was already, they knew what was going to happen?
No, they just said typical. It was like,
well, to me, when I hear the word typical, it means that it was something that they've already read, or it was a story they read before, just got different characters. They just feel like, okay, you didn't bring nothing new to the table.
Well, I mean, not to bash everybody that's new authors writing urban fiction, but there's nothing new under the sun.
It isn't, but it's just how you tell it, though. It's how you tell the new story.
Right.
We talk about this all the time on here, too, and I know TV's going to jump in on this. But look, let me tell you. You could tell the same. We can all tell the same damn story, but what makes a difference is how we tell it. If we tell it all the same, then yeah, it's gonna be typical. We got to come up with our own twists and turns to make this shit different, even though it's the same damn story.
Yeah,
that's true. Oh, yeah, me and Red bump heads on this. Well, not really bump heads, but we agree with this all the time. Every time we talk about the same, there's no story that's never been written before. It's just how you put your spin on an age-old tale.
Absolutely. That is correct. You know, we can talk about, I'm going to tell you what's the most, what I think is the most phenomenal story out there that I have read, that I enjoy, that has been told so many times, and DB know the answer to this, A Christmas Carol. That story is the greatest story I think ever out there that has been written. That's one of the greatest. I ain't going to say it's the greatest, but it's one of the best stories. Charles Dickens wrote this story so many years ago. And he was way ahead of his time with this, okay? But that has been told so many ways, so many times, so many different ways, and it still can be an enjoyable story because it's a great story. But I'm just saying, I mean, it's a story that I love. You know, I like the original version. I can take another version that we've seen, different versions of it, and have different twists to it. But it's the same story told differently. So that's the creativity you got to bring into it. If you don't write about the drug dealer or whatever, and you got to come up with another way. Instead of having the drug dealer go to jail, and like all the stories that I've seen most of the time, he goes to jail, his woman goes with his rival, and then comes out, and she's with him, and they got a baby and all this shit. You know, and I mean, come on, let's there's another way to tell that.
Yeah.
I got to get my empire back and all this. It doesn't have to be the same. You know, and one way of telling it is, you can have it where it was 6 months earlier or whatever. I mean, there's different ways to tell the story. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to write. I'm just saying you just have to come up with a way. If it's a typical story that they say is typical, you know, you just got to come up with a way to make yours different than the average story. You can take that same story or whatever, or if it's the same idea, I'm going to say it's the same story, the same idea, and you can fix it in a different manner where it won't have to be the same. It won't be the same if you put your own twist on it and make it different and not have the outcome where everybody can guess what's going to happen. See, that's the thing. You want to put twists in so that they might think it's going away, but then it turns on their ass and they're fucked up. That's what gets them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, we all can tell the story about the Christmas Carol, but I can have it where at the end, instead of Scrooge, you know, getting the damn golden goose and shit or whatever with the goose and take it to the son's house or whatever. You know, I mean, there's different ways they've ended this story. I've seen it done in different ways. You can have where schools get killed or something. I mean, it's just different. I mean, you just got to change the story. Well, people are not seeing what they think they're going to see. So
Right. Getting
back to what you're saying with the typical, to them, maybe it was. They may have read a lot of stuff that came that way. But you just got to look at the way you write your book, the way you write your story. And you got to have something in there so far-fetched, but it's got to be believable that when you hit them with it, that they don't see it coming. They got to think it's going one way, and then you turn that shit on them so hard that they're like, damn, where'd that come from? How did that, you know? But it's got to be believable. You can't just throw some shit in there. They was walking down the street, and all of a sudden they fell in a hole. You know, it's got to be.
Then they got eaten up by aliens, you know, some shit like that. But
right, you know, it's got to be believable, a twist that they didn't see.
Yeah.
So when you heard that, and I'm going to get off of this, when you heard that, what did you do? Did you go back and reread to see if it was typical of some other things that you read or other stories that's out there?
Actually, I didn't do that. I read my book. Because I'm constantly trying to bring new ideas to it, so I started. It was the way I started it. She said the way you started was typical, but I actually
Give me an example if you don't mind. How did you start? I'm sorry, I should have read your book before you came on the show. I'm sorry.
I started it in the strip club.
Okay, well, that's normal. Okay, it was a strip club, and this was a guy that was a gangster or a drug dealer or something like that, right?
Not really. So you had to you had to read the book
to
see why
I'm trying to find out how is it typical.
You had
starting a strip club.
Actually,
how is that typical?
I mean, being that it's urban fiction, I don't know if she probably read like a lot of books that.
Urban fiction, strip clubs do go along with that. That is kind of like a thing that a drug dealer would do. I mean,
yeah, but it's not really my theme. The theme of the book is not based off a drug dealer, so it's definitely not like that.
Okay, and you felt the need to have the drug dealer in there. I mean, not drug dealer, but the strip club. So okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just trying to see.
Yeah, one of my characters is an exotic dancer, so, I mean, and she's a main piece to the puzzle as far as the story. So that's why I started it there. And everybody, I mean, and, like, 90% of my characters are in that place. So that's why I started it that way. But, you know, you have to really read it to see if that's the case as far as being typical.
Well, you know, my thing
real.
Is...
I have a question. Okay, you say it starts off in the strip club, but my question is, what is the overall concept book?
The overall, you said the overall concept of the book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you, what's the premise of the book?
Because you're saying that she's a stripper, you know, like what throw?
That the character or just the story?
The character.
Oh, she actually, her father is like, he's a big figure in the community, and he's like, he's a bishop of his own church. So, I mean, that's the title that I gave him, but he actually owns his own church, and, you know, he's a big figure in the community, and she's a stripper. And he doesn't want her to dive deeper, dive deeper into the world of, like, sex, money, and, you know, just the fast life, but she actually dives deeper. And so that's but I started the story with her. And then all my characters, that's, like, I'd say about 80 to 90% of the characters are in that scene.
And this is like a this is a mystery, like a murder mystery book, right? It's not really urban fiction or
it's called Homicide City. I mean, I wrote it how can I word this to actually not put myself in
just
a hole?
Just say the shit, man. Put the shit out. Just say it, man.
I wrote it in a...
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay?
I urbanized the tale, basically. I urbanized it. That's why I put exotic dancer, a rapper, and a corrupt cop.
So you're telling me what I'm getting now is you're telling me that this was something that happened to you or someone you know, and you fixed it up a little bit so that it could be
exactly. But of course, I actually went over the edge with some of the things that happened in the book, but that was just to make it, you know, broaden my horizons as far as, like, you know, I didn't want to just, you know, have the small things in it. I brought the story out. So when you do read it, like, it's like, did this really happen? You might not know or not. Like, only I would really know if it happened or not.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to. When I read a book, I don't, even if somebody says it's a true story, I don't be looking to see if the shit's really true or not anyway. But my thing is, you know, you wrote a story. You took it, you fixed it, you tweaked it, made it yours, and you put it out there. So I guess my question was, and I was just trying to find out what was so typical about your story that she had to, whoever wrote this review or spoke to you, what was they using the basis of what was making it a typical story? I mean, I'm trying to figure it out.
I mean, I didn't go deeper to find out. I just sent back a message saying, okay, you know, hopefully, I mean, and I didn't look at it as a bad review because she said she ended up liking the story. I don't know, but maybe the way I started it wasn't good for her. I don't know. But I didn't go deeper into it, like, to bring out more because it probably would have turned into an argument of, you know, because she's a reader and I'm a writer, so. And you know how that goes. Mm. The argument from that. It's like a tennis game. I ain't want to be.
No, tell me what you mean by that, man. So you just write, you don't read?
At this moment, that is like the hardest thing for me to do is read now because I'm so much, my creativity, I try to, if I do read, it's not what I'm writing at the moment.
Oh,
that's
can I
another
add something
thing.
To
I
it?
I can't read what I'm writing because I don't I don't want my creativity to be somebody else's.
Okay.
I want my creativity to be my own.
Toy, honey.
Yeah. Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Because I've been trying to figure out why did this person say it's typical. Okay, now that I've heard what I need to hear, this is all I can say. I'm a writer and a reader. So basically she didn't know what the hell she was talking about. She said, your book was typical. Because I've read a lot of books, and I multitask. So, and from what she was telling me, I have not read. I've read some books by black authors that had strippers in them, but they had different concepts. This had a different concept from any book that I've read. I wouldn't call it typical. Basically, she didn't know what the hell she was talking about.
Maybe you didn't touch something that she thought you should have touched, like the stripper was selling pussy or something in the damn club or something. I don't know. Maybe that's what you were looking for. I don't know. And you didn't talk about it. You just had her get killed and shit. And you know, and the pastor was mad because his daughter got killed in sin and shit. I don't know. Fuck it.
Maybe she was
a stripper and she was mad because it looked like her at first, and then the shit changed. You know, I don't know.
That's one thing about what we write. We got all kinds
of people that are reading what we write. There's all types of people that come from all walks of life. And the reason why people read certain genres is because they want to see themselves in the book. That's why urban fiction is so big, because now it's making people that read that would normally not read, because you live in the hood, you ain't reading about goddamn Charles Dickens or none of that shit, because that shit don't relate to you. So you want to read about some shit that relate to you. The motherfucker on the street with the white shirt on selling some dope. Right? That's the reason why those books sell. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. So maybe she didn't see herself in there, so she felt like it wasn't real.
Yeah. You know, we can talk about that all day, because I didn't dive deeper into it, because for one, that was like I only have one review on my Amazon. I don't know why. I would like people to, you know, review it more and add more reviews to it, but the ones I got on Facebook, everybody enjoyed it. They said the book was enjoyable from beginning to the end.
You know, people always say that, man, when they get on it. I'm not saying your book wasn't. Don't get me wrong. Don't take this wrong, what I'm saying. I'm telling you as an author, authors talking to authors. People always want to get shit free, and they always want to be able to read it and say whatever. Then they don't want to put no damn review on, because you know why most times people don't put reviews on? Because they got to take the time out to put their damn information on there so they can, you know, to register. And they don't want to do that shit. I'm serious. You think I'm playing? That's why people don't do reviews, because they don't, if they're not a real avid reader, like T Honey or somebody, Toy Honey or someone like that, or me or you, or whoever actually gets out there and read, they're not going to take time out to register, put their name, all the stuff on there, Bob, you know, you do books. That's why they don't do the reviews. You know, it's fucked up, but it's true.
I got more reviews doing the Anna J book series than I did my own book.
You know why? Because it was an anthology, and it was more than one author. So it was a lot of stuff to pick from. That's why.
And if y'all can, please check that out, because y'all actually write erotica.
What's the name of your story, and it's in which book, the second one she did or the first one?
Jules is in the first one, and I'm in the second. My story was called The Ultimate Blind Date.
Okay. I got that book, so I'm going to have to go look at it. She sent me a free Kindle version of that, so I'm going to have to go take a look at that and see what's going on and see what you're talking about.
Yeah, I would like to see, you know, and actually you can leave me a message on Facebook. I know me and you connected. I would like for you to leave me a message and tell me from your point of view how I did on my first erotic story.
Okay, so what did you think you did, first of all, before I even go there? How do you think you've done? Do you think you made motherfuckers get hot where they want to jack off? Because that's the objective when you write erotica. If you can't get a motherfucker hot, if it ain't getting you hot, how do you expect somebody else to get hot over this shit? Did you feel like you was gonna fuck something when you wrote that shit?
My imagination was like was all over the place with that book.
You ain't answering the question. You said your imagination. Shit, I could have been thinking about fucking Samuel Jackson's ass. Of course, I ain't no faggot, but I'm just saying. You gotta tell me what you're talking about.
Did you fucking stop?
Look, let me tell you. When I write erotica, if I can't make you stop in between the scene where you gotta relieve yourself before you can finish it, then I haven't done my job.
Wow.
I wanted to read the next chapter.
I wanted to meet my character.
Okay, so is it a female or male?
No, these are the male. I'm talking about the female.
Well, it could be a male character that's doing the fucking. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you wrote the story. I'm just trying to figure out, is it a male or a female? Mm. You know what I'm saying? He the one that, you know, I mean,
actually, I
there's books
my,
out there.
I wrote it like the main character's a female. Like, she hasn't, well, let me explain the book. She hasn't, like, actually, she hasn't had sex for, like, a year because she felt like she hasn't met the right mate or she's just in a drought, per se, like.
And all of a sudden, here comes long,
no,
tall Johnny and shit. Is it a female? Or is it a female that takes her out? Okay.
No, listen, her girlfriend sets her up on a blind date. Like, they go out to this lounge, and her girlfriend tells her, like, well, you know, it's time for you to... Actually, in the beginning, she calls and tells her this. She doesn't want her to do it, but she agrees, of course. And then she meets the guy, and she's just head over heels. And you know what I mean?
So she can head over heels by seeing his ass? Long
the guy
Johnny?
Yep.
All she did was see him and she was fucked up.
You gotta read the story.
Damn, boy. All she did was see this motherfucker. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Damn. He might not be able to fuck. But she saw him and shit. And she was already ready to go. Okay.
All right. That one year went out the window when she met him.
DV.
Yeah.
Hey, man, why you fucking with Tamika, man, on Facebook, man?
Because, you know, that is my job. That is my job.
I see you out there fucking with her and shit, man. You fucking with her, man. Talking about chocolate-covered dicks and shit. What the fuck she talking about? Anyway, all right, let's go back to you. Let's get back to this. My man said he wrote a story, and I'm going to have to read it, because he said when this woman saw this motherfucker, she just was done. He didn't have to stick his dick in her or nothing. She just said, fuck it. She knew as soon as she saw this motherfucker.
That's why it's called Dolphin Blind Date.
Okay,
so. It kind of speaks for itself.
Now, let me ask you a question, brother. And let's just be honest. Nobody's dogging your book or your story or anything, and don't take it like that, because I'm not. I'm just asking you. Is that believable?
The ultimate blind, you mean that story?
Yeah. Somebody sees somebody and they just, that's it.
I mean, from my perspective, yes. It is
okay.
Believable because you have your love at first sight, you know, type of thing. And to be honest, like, A female that first sees you, say if you is just the shit in the club and you like got your little whatever, like your outfit on, it just got you looking, you got the glow like the Last Dragon or something. That female that sees you and just stares at you and you catch eye to eye, I wrote that in the perspective of a female seeing a male that she just never, like she probably never seen before, and like, oh my God, I want to fuck him right now. Like, who knows, like, if that's the case.
Well, you know, when women see a dude,
exactly, from the first
time. When a woman sees a man, she knows she want to fuck him when she see him.
Exactly.
It's how he gets to her.
But the thing is you're saying that this bitch didn't have no dick for a year, and all of a sudden she seen this dude, and then she just done.
Yeah, that was it.
If you think that's believable, then okay. I'm just trying to see if you back up what you wrote. If you had to think about it.
Oh, yeah, I definitely do.
Shit might not be, you know, you might want to take a look at it. I'm just saying, you know, you want to make sure that you believe what you're putting down.
Oh, yeah, and I
you know,
because
I can give a fuck about somebody saying that my people don't have no damn rubbers. Don't fuck them. Don't read the shit. You know, read a book that talks about rubbers. I ain't putting rubbers on my motherfuckers when they fuck in my books. So, you know, I'm not trying to teach that. Huh?
They might have been an AIDS activist.
Well, I don't care what they were. You can choose what you want to read. And if that turns you off, that motherfucker didn't have to put a rubber on first, then whatever. You know, read something that talks about that shit, like a self-help book on all that. But anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is you got to make sure that what you write is believable. All right. And it needs to be. Okay, DV, you're back. What's up? You dropped and now you're back. Okay.
Yeah, you know how
that
is.
what would you get ready to say, Toy? Because I know you was about to go off there.
I had got distracted for a minute, but from what I was hearing before
what the
I
hell
got distracted,
you doing?
Was you asking T-Real, you know, has he written something that he think would get the ladies off? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Two examples. There is a great erotic writer. I'm not going to state his name, but I remember seeing his status while he was writing a novel, an erotic novel. He said he had to stop after he wrote that sex scene and masturbate. Me,
wow.
Myself, I have written a short story, very hot, steamy erotica, about a threesome that ended up being a foursome. After I wrote that story, I masturbated. Yeah, I'm putting it out there on airwaves, yeah. So
we jack off all the damn time. Shit, I might be jacking off now. But anyway, let me say, my thing is, that's why I told you that. Because when I write my erotic scenes, when I write the story scenes, if I ain't jacking my dick, then it ain't working.
Wow.
How I expect to get somebody else off if I can't write a story that's going to get me off?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to set my game up.
If you're going to write erotica, yeah. Because you gotta. I'm telling you, the attributes of writing erotica is you gotta have it where you gotta get them hot. Okay, that's the objective of writing that. But you don't want it to be just about that.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by having a story that if you took the sex out, it's still a story that is legit. That's erotica.
So is it?
Okay.
There, so you.
And
tell
you also have to have a very big imagination, because me myself, I have a very big imagination.
Yeah, and the scenes got to make sense. Now you can't just write some shit, motherfuckers is twisted all kinds of ways that it ain't physically possible. You got to make sure that when you have them twisting and turning different ways and everything, that these people can actually do this physically. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
because you have a motherfucker turned upside down in one part of the story, then you turn around, the motherfucker is standing up again, and you didn't tell when they turned around, and you know that shit's gonna be fucked up because people look at that detail.
That's where imagination comes in. That
absolutely.
Uh-huh.
If you're gonna have somebody bent over, you gotta make sure you tell. Okay, the motherfucker got up. Because if you don't say that, they're gonna be like, damn, when did that shit happen? His dick that long? He stretched over to the bathroom, and he's standing by the door. How did that happen? You know what I'm saying? You know, you got to make sure it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you got to do.
T-Real, are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
How can I find you?
Alter T-Real.
Okay, I'm gonna look you up.
And you good, brother. Ain't nobody dogging you. I mean, you out there. You an author. You are the man. So my thing is just that when you write in certain genres, like you said, you got to make sure that you are giving them, you know, what you want them to have, but it's got to be done with taste, and it's got to be done. But you take time out and make sure it's done right, you know. You want to do it where the person is getting exactly what it is that you want them to have, if that makes sense. And that's in any genre. It don't have to be just erotica. It can be anything. You know, if it's a drug dealer story and you want to make the scene, if they're shooting at each other, you want to make that scene so believable that the people can see that in front of them. You know, I want it to be, when I write, I want it to be that either the person is looking out in a window inside and to see it, or that they actually feel like they're in the story and they're the ones that's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to do when you create your characters. You do not want to have it where they are not part of the story. They got to be some kind of way part of the story. So, like you said, if you're masturbating because of it, because it's so damn hot, I'm telling you, y'all laughing, but this shit is. I'm telling you, if you don't feel like you ain't part of that, then it ain't gonna work. I'm sorry, especially when it comes to erotica, you. Yeah, it's got to be like that. If you're not doing it, then fuck it. Write something else.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that.
You know, you just got to make sure. I mean, damn. You know, when you talk about that, your shit ain't rising, and you ain't. You're like, damn. You know, I mean, when you describe the woman's titties and all that, or whatever, or the man's dick, or whatever. you know, you got to do that. And another thing about erotica, you can't be a person that only writes about one type of sex scene. In other words, you can't always be heterosexual all the time. You got to have some other shit, even though you don't live that. I'm not gay, but I have to. I write gay scenes because if you don't, and you're an erotic writer, and you always just got regular two women and one man, then you're gonna be, and they know you a man. Guess what? They're gonna call you a chauvinist. You got to be equal to give everybody what they need in the story.
Basically, don't pigeonhole.
Huh?
I was saying, basically, don't pigeonhole yourself with just the regular.
Well, I mean, you know, if the story's about a man and a woman and that's all it's about and there's no other people in the story, then fine. But, you know, I always try to make sure there's some characters that, you know, there's going to be some lesbian characters, there's going to be something. Usually when I write stories, there's different types of people. A lot of times people don't know that they're living this lifestyle or whatever. I mean, it just, you know, that's part of the mystery of doing it. Of having a connection with different characters that, you know, okay, this person is doing this and they don't know it. And I always try to make my characters have some kind of connection, some kind of way with somebody else. They may not be all connected, but somebody is connected to another character some kind of way or something. And that's what makes it interesting. And you have all these different stories going on at once. I write like that. I'm not saying you got to do that. But when I do it, I always like to write third person and first person. And, you know, it's just, to me, when people write first person, that's great. But first person to me is you're stuck. I like third person because it's a God effect and I can make things happen around the corner that you can't do as a first person writer. So that's what I'm saying. You know, it just depends on what you want to do. You know, if you're writing in first person, then it's I, everything I'm doing and everything is about I saw him and he looked at me and when I saw him I got wet and shit, you know, or whatever, you know. Just like you said in your story you wrote about the girl, she saw the dude, she was done. Hopefully you explain what happened when she saw his ass, that motherfucker, she got wet. She was like, damn, boy, I just can't wait to get this motherfucker. You know, he going to lick me or what? You know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So did you write it in first or third?
It was kind of like both.
Oh, see, you can't do that. Well, the only time, if you're going to do that, this is what I do, and I'm not trying to tell you how to write because I ain't the expert. But I'm just saying, if you're going to write third person, it should all be third person. You don't want to have – the only part that should be first person is their thoughts. You don't want to have somebody thinking or writing, talking about I was doing this, and then all of a sudden it gets into a – I mean, you could, but, I mean, it's tricky because people start getting confused. Well, hell, I thought the author was – the narrator was saying this. Now it's – they're talking? I mean, there's going to be some scenes where they talk in a third-person book. I mean, that's not all narrative. I mean, like, there is some talking. But as you write the talking piece, there still should be the narrative explaining, well, when she said this, she turned to the side and looked down out the window, and then she responded. You know, you see what I mean? And that's what you do, I'm sure, because I'm sure you're an author that does that. But you get what I'm saying, though, right? I mean, you know, it's there's some people who write and they do that, have those two things, and it's just not good to mix that unless you're going to be, you know. So, are you all right? I'm not messing you up, Emma.
Oh, no, this is good learning. Like, you know, me trying to reach different heights in writing, I mean, this is good learning.
I'm learning too, Red.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm not the expert, but I do have 12 novels out, and that doesn't mean that I'm all that. It just means that I've done it a little longer, that's all. My thing is you just got to be careful when you put stuff out, how you do it, and you just got to be,
that's the craft. As I see that you are, if you got 12 novels.
Well, I mean, you know, I put them out there, and I didn't put them all out one after another. I mean, it took a little time in between, but I learn as I'm going, and I'm still learning. Because, excuse me, as you write, you want to be able to learn. You don't never get to where you're so good that you don't learn no more. And if you start thinking that way, then you know, your ego is just too big. You know,
yeah, that's what
but my thing is Yeah, I mean, you know, my thing is you want to try to make it, and then also while you're writing all these books, you're trying to come up with a voice that your readers will recognize. So when they pick up a book by you, then they know that, okay, you wrote this, and this is how you do, and this is what you say, and how you betray yourself. Like Walter Mosley books, there's a certain voice that he has in his books, even though he writes in several different genres. You know, he writes everything from crime scenes, crime books, to erotica, to, you know, everything. You know, but the characters, he develops them in such a manner that, you know, you believe them to be real and you want to talk to them. When people are talking about your characters like real people, you know you have done what you're supposed to have done. If they're not doing that and, you know, and it's still one-sided to them, then we want to look at your character development better. You know, and just try to come up with a way. You know, I always do an outline. Do you guys do an outline before you write? I mean, especially if you're writing a novel. Do you do an outline before you write?
Yep. That's one thing I do. Every chapter is outlined.
Okay. Now, you know, the outline is always something that's a living document that you can actually change. It doesn't have to necessarily stay the way you have, you know, written it, and that's the beauty of it. So, you know, I always try to suggest that people do that. So, and like I said, you can always change. It's a guide to give you, to help you. So, if you know, your story changes, you got something to go by. It also will give you a chance to kind of look at what you have already put down already. Sometimes you may have to rechange something or whatever. So, you know, that's the reason why I suggest doing an outline, because a lot of times, you know, like I said, you write one thing, you might get so far, you forget what details of what you said before, and then you got to go back. And, you know, when you do your character stuff, you got to, you know, you can put down notes on what your character is going to be or how you want them to be and all that. It's just, there's several ways of doing it. There's no right one way to do it is what I'm saying. You just got to, you know, if you want to get better in your craft, those are some things you want to do. And that goes with any genre. It's nothing to do with erotica. I mean, whatever you like to write, you want to be able to develop your characters in such a manner that they're believable. You want to, if it's going to be sex scenes, you want to have it. And you don't have to say all the words I say like I say in my mind, because I write all kinds of explicit stuff in mine. But it can be soft and still get to the point where it's supposed to get the person hot that's reading it. And hopefully enough to stop where they'll be like, damn, I got to relieve myself if I go any further with this shit. You know? Because I'm a firm believer. If I'm not getting you hot and you're reading my shit and you're not getting hot, then... And I'm not getting hot,
but
I'm, you know, I just can't say that enough.
So, like, you ain't do your job, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to write that, why write erotica if you can't get nobody hot with the shit you're writing? I mean, you know, what's the use? There are some people that get hot over the Harlequin romances, even though they're talking about the flower petals and all this, you know. Some people are in that, you know. That's their shit. But they read it because that's what they're used to and that's what they're getting hot over, right? So you gotta come with it if you're going to do that. And like I said, the story should be so good that if you took the sex out, you still got a great story and it won't miss a beat.
Mm.
That's it. So, you know, that's what you got to do. And even in your poetry, I'm not a poet. So I can't really tell you, but my thing is you want that. If it's going to be an erotic poetry poem or something, it's got to hit the spot. Or if it's talking about anger or whatever you're talking about, it's got to hit that spot of what you're trying to reach in that piece. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then you got to climax hard. Okay.
Yes, if you're talking about lips, when you're talking about somebody's lips, your shit should be so hot that, damn, I want to see the lips move. I want to see the tongue going across the lips. I want to be so damn hot that, you know, I can imagine that it's wet and, I'm ready to get those lips on my shit. And if it's not happening, then what's the use? Hopefully that makes sense, because, I mean, I'm serious. Why write a book that ain't going to get you nowhere? And that's why your story, anything, whatever the genre is, if you're writing it, it should be so descriptive in such a way, not too descriptive, but enough to get the character known so that the person can follow the character and want to be able to relate or just know the character so much that they're going to talk about that character. So-and-so was just fucked up. I just hate the way they treated so-and-so, you know, like real people. That's not happening. You want to take a look at what you're doing. Want it to be like they are just believable. Even if they're talking bad, especially when they're talking negative about the person. I had a character in my series, Scandalous Motives, that this guy was just so fucking, I just loved to hate him, and they just talked about him. Hate this guy, you know, and that's what you want. Them to believe these characters to be in such a manner that they believe that they're real. I'm going to see if this person has a question. Don't, please don't hang up, but area code is 83. I have a question.
State your name, where you're calling from. Hold on. Yeah.
You have a question?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. State your name, where you're calling from. Do you have a question?
Yeah, that's Mike from Charleston.
Okay, how are you doing, Mike? Welcome to the show.
I'm cool, man. It's a... I was letting you know about the book with Tyria. That's actually my first cousin.
Okay.
I just want to let him know that he's doing his thing, and everybody be proud of him. Just tell him to keep up the good work, man.
Good looking out, cousin.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm gonna come up there, man. I'm making some plans with Angela, with Manetta now to come up there, man. But keep doing your thing, bub.
That's who's up. Good looking out.
All right.
We thank you for calling in and supporting your family. Okay, all right.
See, you got some fans out there, brother. Yeah, I mean,
But getting back to what you were saying, though, about people doing reviews, we want people to do reviews. We really do. But.
Oh, definitely.
You gotta, people just, you know, you gotta, and I hate to say it, but sometimes in this game you have to give books away and all that, and you don't want to do that all the time, but. You got to do things to get yourself out there where people know the brand is you. So you got to be nice, and you can't be, you know, you can't be acting stupid with folks. Sometimes authors get to a point where they get so big, or they get to where they think they show all that they just forget that the fan is what got them there. They treat their fan like shit. You know, we don't want that.
Yeah, that's one thing I would like to say. To like up and coming authors, they should build like another set of skin and get ready for good.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, because you gotta be able to take the good and the bad. You can't be soft.
Yeah, because the bad will make you grow.
Yeah, because you can't be soft in this game, because everybody's not going. First of all, like we said earlier, everybody is not going to like what you write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want them to put reviews on, even if they're fucked up reviews. You know, like, I talk about that one all the time, but I'm glad that they put that on there about the safe sex, because that means they read it and found out I wasn't practicing safe sex in my book. So, yeah. You know, if that's what you need, you know, fine, fuck it. I'm glad. But you read it, so... I did what I was supposed to do. I got you to read the damn thing. Now, you may not like it, but you read the damn, you read it. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, you just want to be able to get your craft out. And we do want the reviews. We like to get reviews. But just because you may not have a lot of reviews, sometimes you think, oh, I'm not successful, blah, blah, blah. No, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's just the way people put stuff out there. A lot of times people put these books out way before the book comes out, and they have all these pre-reviews done, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, it just doesn't mean that you're not successful because you don't have a lot of reviews. But you do want to try to get that.
Oh, yeah, because most of my books I sold, I mean, they were book signings. And that comes from me just, I mean, having to get the gab and being a good book salesman and getting people interested in buying my book. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure that now that you're getting out there and you're doing book signings and all that stuff, people will start getting to know what's there. And then, you know, you just got to listen to them. But my thing is don't take everything that everybody tells you and try to change all your stuff because of what they're telling you. You got to stay within your own and stick with that. There's going to be people that's going to follow what you do. You can't just change all the time because somebody else, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be able to, this is the way I write. This is my thing. I thank you for telling me this, you know, and try to make a change if needed, but don't change your style because somebody likes your style.
Exactly.
You know, everybody's not going to like it. I mean, there's people that like what I write and there's people that don't. And that's the reason why they have more than one book out there to read, so that you can read whatever it is that you like. If you don't like my shit, then go read somebody else's shit. There's plenty of books out there. Right?
Oh, definitely.
You know,
millions of books.
Yeah, when I first came in, I used to be all, damn, they don't like my shit. You have to get thick skin quick for those that are listening and want to write, because I'm telling you, a lot of people are not writing today because they couldn't take the negative reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't want that. You got to go. I mean, if you believe in what you're doing and you love what you're doing, then that's fine. And if you're out here just trying to get paid, then, you know, it ain't going to work anyway.
Yeah. Gotta love the brain first.
Well, I mean, you got to love writing. I mean, why write if you don't like it? I mean, shit, you can find some other way to hustle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's why I look at it. You know, some people
love being creative because, I mean, you can, I think if you fall in love trying to get the money, then you're not paying attention to your creativity and you're not growing as a writer.
Well, I had somebody tell me today they was writing because people was pushing them to write. I said, well, if you don't like writing, why are you writing? Well, that's the wrong word. I shouldn't say that. They encouraged me. Well, I mean, shit, if you want to write the story, you shouldn't take somebody to encourage you to do it. You should just do it. If it's in you.
Yeah, it comes from within, so.
So if it's not there, then guess what? Something is wrong. So, you know, so if people want to get your books, both of y'all, how can they get them?
I'll let ladies first.
Oh, me? Mine is still in the process of being published. Go be real.
All right, well, if they want to purchase my books, of course, Amazon.com. My book is on Kindle for 99 cents. Or they can visit my website at www.trealsworld.net. They can purchase it there. They can purchase it on JohnsonPublicationBooks.com. They can purchase it on BarnesandNobles.com. I mean, I'm on the next.
Okay, so how long, let me ask you this question. How long is your book on Kindle going to be 99 cents?
From here on out.
Why?
We're actually, you know, trying to we're in the process of getting more readers.
And I'm blowing your mind right now. You know why? I mean, all that work you put into putting that book together, you put that book together, all that sweating and time you put in, man hours and all that shit to get this book out here, and you're going to give it away for 99 cents. No wonder there's nobody putting reviews and shit out there. There's nothing wrong with selling your book for a while for 99 cents. You don't want to do that all the time. There's certain times that you should do it, okay? I'm not saying don't do the 99 cent thing. I'm saying that you don't want it to be 99 cents forever. you put all that work and all that heart and headache and everything to make this book be a book, which half people haven't done, and then you offer it to them for nothing.
Well,
why?
That was, I mean, I talked with my publisher about that, and then that was a sales pitch. It just actually just went 99 cents in, like, March.
I bet you all these mainstream companies don't sell their books for 99 cents. I bet you they're out there for $9.99, and I'm not saying you got to sell your book for that, but I'm just saying, you know, they know that you put a lot into the book. I mean, they put a lot into it, and they're trying to get something out of it. You only get 35 cents out of 99 if you get that. So, you know, I'm saying if you're going to sell it for a limited time at 99 cents, that's fine. I don't know if you even have control of that. Maybe you don't. Maybe your publisher is the one that.
Yeah, that, I mean, I agree. You know, it's like you know, things going on sale. People like sales more than paying a retail price. So.
But let me tell you something. You're selling it for 99 cents, and then people who have Kindle Prime, they pay $69 a year. They get the book free anyway.
Mm.
So who's winning? People who pay the $69 a year and get the books free anyway, because the share and all that. If you look on there, you see on there it has Kindle Prime. Those people are paying a certain amount of money a year, and they can get any book that's out there on Kindle for free because of that.
That was,
so that's,
I mean,
something you might want to think about.
That I didn't know. I mean, you learn something new every day, and that's a good. That was a good learning process right there.
Well, that's because I'm a publisher too. But see, the thing is I don't try to screw my people that I sign. You know, I might put them out for 99 cents for a little while, but like I said, it goes back to a certain price, $3.99 or whatever. You don't want to kill people with $9.99, but, you know, I mean, you want to make it available where you can get something out of it for the work that you did. Now, you can't just depend on the paperback version to sell all the time. You know, you want that, but, you know, there's just different ways of marketing. Like, I put my books for 99 cents. Around the holidays, like I might go from Thanksgiving all the way to the December 31st or something, and let it go like that. And you usually make a lot of money doing it that way. But I don't let it be like that the whole damn year, because I put too much into that book.
Gotcha.
And you know, and then you got the prime people out there; they're getting it anyway. You know, so I mean, it's just like. That's why they ain't putting a review out there, because they just like, I got the book. Well, I'll have to write it. If I don't like the book, then I ain't losing nothing. You know? So it's just something to look at, you know.
Oh, definitely.
And you can put these Kindle books out yourself. You don't even have to have a publisher for that. You know, you can just put it out there, set the price and all that. You know, you don't even have to have a publisher for that. You don't even have to have an ISBN number for that. You just put and Nook, and Smashwords, and all this. There's so many ways to get published now. I mean, people, they were just really serious about it. There's so many ways that they don't even have to go through mainstream. That's why a lot of these mainstream authors are pissed at us. That's why they're mad, because, you know, a lot of these mainstream companies are upset because they feel like, damn, the publishing game with the technology has changed so much. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, damn. You know, that's why all you see, all these Barnes and Nobles are closing. Because Amazon's killing them. But online, everything being online, Amazon don't have stores that you can go to. They've always been online, and they got it sold up. But Barnes and Noble is losing out, having books and having coffee and all this. And people ain't, they just, there's a few people that still like that, but there's a lot of people that just want to get the Kindle and go home. And I'm not saying Kindle's going to be the way, because there's a lot of people that still want to read books. There's still people that want to have a book in their hand. But the thing is they're learning now that you know, with electronics and, you know, technology and everything, it's just things are changing in this game. That's why these mom-and-pop stores are closing all around you, these bookstores that used to be around. Because this stuff is killing them. So,
definitely.
You got to come up with another way. You got some people, that's all they do is publish Kindle. And they ain't paying nothing. They're just putting it out there. Because those books don't have to have an ISBN. You can just put it out there. They'll assign a number for you. That's not an ISBN, but it's a Kindle number. And it'll sell everywhere that books are sold.
That's something to think about.
And, you know, that's what a lot of these mainstream authors are doing, too. They might put a book out on Kindle, just on Kindle, to see if it'll do well, if it's a new genre or something that they're trying or something that they haven't done before. And if it doesn't do well, they ain't lost nothing because it was just put on Kindle or Smashwords or something, or these different, you know, ways to put books out. So, you know, this game has changed.
I hope an inspiring author is listening about that instead of thinking about...
Well, you know, a lot of them are listening, and I get people all the time that have questions in the chat room. I think it's still open, and if there's anyone there to ask questions, ask, because we got like 8 minutes, and we'll be getting off here pretty soon. But, you know, I just wanted to thank you both. And, Toy, you say you don't have a book out yet, but still, if somebody wants to get you to do some poetry and stuff like that, how can they get to you?
They can read my stuff on Facebook. It's on my poetry page. Plus, I post a lot in the poetry group that I have called The Honey Spot. Basically, free
verses. Right, which I'm a member of that Honey Spot.
I added you to it.
I think I am. I'll be seeing your face. Let me see The Honey Spot. I don't know. I won't see that.
You don't see it.
Add me again. No, you have to add me again because, well, I got so many groups.
You had a different page, didn't you?
I got a new page because my other one became a fan page, and then I can't change it back no more, so I'm jacked.
Okay, so I see
your
friend requesting. Your friend requesting and add you.
Right. We want you back. We want to get back in there. But, you know, we thank you. We thank you both. I'm glad you called in, Toy, and, you know, your wisdom is always welcome. And Brother T-Real, we thank you, brother, for coming on. And like I said, we had Jules on before. And we wanted to come back as well. You know, we are definitely glad that you was able to step in. And, you know, and like I said, you said it yourself. You got to have thick skin in this game. And you can't just come in and think everybody's going to love your books. I like I said, I talked to some authors. There's one that I was talking to, and she just, you know, felt like everybody was just going to love her book, and because she wasn't getting the view she wanted, she was all fucked up and mad and thinking everybody was against her and all this, and it wasn't even that. It's just not the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to come into this thing, and you got to have thick skin. Everybody's not going to like it. You know, it's like the person said, it was typical, whatever that meant. It's just whatever, you know what I'm saying? You just have to take it for what it works. Like the person talked about mine. They talked about, oh man, they didn't take time out to put a rubber on. Damn. Okay. All right. They didn't take time to put a rubber on. Okay. All right. That's your opinion. They didn't get the AIDS and everything. Now, I didn't. Well, one of the stories I had with somebody did catch AIDS, but you know the thing is. Everybody just ain't in the middle of fantasy, ain't thinking about safe sex.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should be, but I'm not going to change. Sorry. Some things you can do and some you can't. And that's one of them I'm not going to do. I'm not gonna... He took the rubber, and I guess I could do that, but why? You know, he put the rubber out and opened it and slipped it over his dick. Now, I could do it in a sexual way. In such a manner where it'd be sensuous, where she takes the rubber in her mouth and took it and put it on his dick with her mouth or something. I could do that. And maybe that will make them happy. But that'll be one instance. It ain't going to be something that's going to be all the damn time. So I'll tell you that right now.
We should send them a short story with that in there and ask them, are they happy now?
You know, I'm not even going to do that, man. That's making them win. They'll be winning. They'll be thinking, oh, you know, I got to him.
Uh-oh.
But I might do that. Uh-oh, there's the police. Are they coming after you?
No.
Wow.
That's Homicide City right there.
Right. Okay, so we thank you both for coming on, and definitely can come back on anytime you want to, and you don't have to be asked to come on. If you just want to come on and just listen and well, say a few words or something, we'll get you on and let you do that. When you got something new coming out, just let us know. We'll get you on the show.
Oh, definitely.
And the show ended up being just you and Toy Honey, so the other two girls, I guess, like I said, they wrote me and said they had something that came up, so we'll reschedule them and get them on. But like I said, I don't send out questions. You just come on and you shoot from the hip on this show, and that's the way it goes, and we do that here on Word Sexy Radio, so that's it. But we thank you both, and we look forward to getting more things from you guys.
Thank you.
All right.
I look forward to connecting more and, staying afloat.
And you will. And I'm on Facebook, so. Toy, I'm looking for that. You need to send it to me.
All right.
Okay, then.
All right.
We'll be talking to y'all.
I don't want the sun to shine, I want to be loved.